Have you ever built something that didn't turn out the way you expected? When you installed it, something went wrong or something like that. This seems to be the story that I get to tell every single time I try to build something or assemble something. Things never turn out exactly as I expect them to when I do some sort of assembly project or home maintenance project. A few months ago, I fixed a dripping faucet in our bathroom, and it worked. I actually fixed the drip, but let me show you just a quick picture here. That's the faucet. Those are both in the off position. That's not exactly how it's supposed to look. It worked, but not exactly how it's supposed to look. Not quite right. I have some serious skills. They're just not in that regard. I remember spending almost an entire semester in high school in our shop class building a cutting board. Like it's just a wooden thing. You glue some stuff. You plane it. It took everybody else like 4 days. It took me the whole semester. I think I got a good mark, and I think my parents still have it 20 years later, but it's just not my thing. And then in the same shop class, probably the next year because I had run out of time, I built this funnel. I had to do some spot welding. It was a metal funnel, spot welding. And so, but instead of the spot welding holding the funnel together, it burnt holes right through the metal, right through the tin. And so I've got this great funnel. My mom still has it. She uses it for something, not funneling. It's got holes all over it. Not so good. So this whole area of building and fixing is one way that the Lord keeps me humble, and one way that that my wife has plenty of opportunities to have grace. She gets to exercise grace on me all the time in this regard. It's good. So unless the Lord works some miracle in my life, I should never have a job where I invest my days in fixing and repairing things. I just should not do that. Not everyone excels at building stuff. But I'm called to be a builder in a different way. And so are you. I'm called to build my life. I'm called to build my life. Each of us has the privilege and the responsibility to build our lives in such a way that God is glorified and that through our lives other people are drawn toward Him. Not everyone excels at building stuff, but God wants us all to excel at building our lives. And you know what? When we build our lives well, we're going to become unlikely heroes. You know, the series that you guys have been going through this summer, Unlikely Heroes, we actually get to be some of those unlikely heroes as we allow the Lord to build our lives well. Let me read some scripture. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've already read it, actually, but I want to read it again. And it's on the screen again. 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? This is the word of the Lord. This is a neat image to spend some time thinking about. And chances are most of us don't walk around during the day thinking, my life is like a building, Jesus is the foundation, how well am I anchored to this foundation, what building materials am I using to build my life? These aren't the sort of questions that bounce around in my day-to-day life necessarily, not with those phrases anyway. But since this image is mentioned here in 1 Corinthians, I think the Lord is inviting us to use this as one of the images that we think about as we build as we live our lives, both as individuals and as a community of believers, as the church. If Jesus is the foundation of our lives, and if we use building materials in our lives that are high quality, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll fit into that category of unlikely heroes. God can take us, weak, sinful, insecure people, and when we place our lives on Him as the foundation and invite Him to build on our lives and then actually live in our lives, He's going to use us in ways that we never expected. We'll impact the world and we'll expand God's kingdom in really neat ways. When God chooses to use us, we get to be the unlikely heroes. It's really cool. Well, we can approach this idea of building our lives well with a few different questions. We could ask, are we building on the right foundation? We could ask, are we building with quality? Are we using materials that will last and that will give God glory? And this week, the big question that I'd like to ask is, am I well secured to Jesus as the foundation? Am I well secured to Jesus as the foundation? Any building that's going to survive needs to be anchored to its foundation. But let's back up and talk about foundations first, before we talk about anchoring ourselves to this foundation. Every building that's going to be usable needs some sort of foundation. And when you build on a foundation, it does a couple of things. First of all, it provides strength and stability. And then it also provides the basic shape of the structure, right? That's what a foundation can do. And just like a building, our lives need a foundation. Since we're called to build our lives, we actually have the choice of which foundation we want to build on. We get to choose what it is that's going to provide the strength and stability in our lives and what's going to provide the shape and the structure. And there are actually a lot of options to choose from in terms of foundations. We could choose money. That could be a foundation we choose to build our lives on. We could choose some religious belief other than Christianity. We could choose popularity. We could choose seeking pleasure. These could all be foundations of our life. Or we could choose Jesus. And this passage in 1 Corinthians says really clearly that Jesus is the foundation that we should build our lives on. But can Jesus really provide the strength and stability and shape in our lives that we need? I'd say absolutely He can. Let me tell you a story that comes out of Thailand. Some of you will know of our missionaries, Ricky and Karen Sanchez, in central Thailand. They run an orphanage called the Abundant Life Home. And this is a story about a guy named Little Golf. Like golf, like the sport. His name is Little Golf. There's also a Big Golf at that orphanage, so that's pretty great. Little Golf came to the Abundant Life Home a few years ago because his aunt, who he was living with, was living with an abusive alcoholic boyfriend who hated Little Golf for being HIV positive. And so Little Golf was made to live in the forest nearby and eat scraps that were thrown on the ground. So he moved to the orphanage. And there he experienced health and good care. Actually, I think there's a picture of Little Golf. That's Little Golf right there. And so he experienced some health and good care in this orphanage, and he decided to follow Jesus as well as a result of living in this orphanage. And his life was transformed significantly. Well, during summer holidays of this past year, Ricky and Karen decided to call up the aunt. They felt led to call the aunt and say, "How are you doing? Would you like a visit from Little Golf?" And it turns out that the aunt had been a little bit too sheepish to call the orphanage, but she really wanted to visit with Little Golf. And she had just recently broken off that relationship with the boyfriend that hated Little Golf. And so Little Golf went home and was reunited and reconciled with his only relatives. And what happened then is that the Little Golf felt a sense of call to actually go back to live with his aunt. And so the missionaries prayed and people were praying and decided, yeah, let's send Little Golf back to live with his aunt. Well, here's the change. There's no church in this village, But little Golf, who came into this orphanage completely broken, now has found Jesus and is sensing a call to plant a church in that same village. And so if he hadn't met Jesus, he wouldn't have had that same call, right? Jesus has provided a foundation for his life that has provided stability, strength, and shape. Well, most of you here probably agree that having Jesus as the foundation of our lives is the best choice. Or, if you don't yet believe that, you're in the right place. We've got people here who love Jesus, and we'd love to talk to you about Jesus. For those of us that can agree that Jesus is the best foundation we can build our lives on, the risk we run is keeping this just as a theological principle, a theoretical sort of assent to an idea. We can give assent to the idea that living our lives for Jesus is the best, but in actuality, the structure of our lives might be a little shaky. And so there's a really important building principle that even I can understand, and it's this: any building that is going to survive needs to be anchored to its foundation. Any building that's going to survive needs to be anchored to its foundation. There needs to be a strong attachment between the foundation and the upper part of the building so that the frame of the building doesn't slide off the foundation when a storm hits or when the ground shifts. There needs to be an anchoring that happens. And some buildings are attached to their foundations by special bolts. They're actually called anchor bolts. I've got one here. I've got a builder friend. This is called an anchor bolt. And it's set into the cement, like the cement of the foundation, and then this little part sticks up, and you bolt the frame to it. And there's this little jog in it so that in the cement, there's no way that it can be pulled up, right? Because you've got this jog that the cement is around. So this is an anchor bolt. And I want to give you this image as something to carry with you. There are some anchor bolts that we need in our lives, I would say. Practices in our lives that will secure the building of our lives to Jesus as the foundation. It's not some mysterious principle. I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes about a few of these anchor bolts that I think are key. And many of you could list them quicker than I. But here they are. The first anchor bolt I want to talk about, so the first thing that we need to be bolted with is what I want to call gospel reminders. Gospel reminders. I heard some of our new long-term missionaries say recently that their mentor has encouraged them to preach the gospel to themselves and to each other regularly, which is a very interesting idea. I mean, these guys know Jesus. They've been committed to him for a long time. They know the gospel, and their call in life is actually to preach the gospel around the world. But the mentor was saying, the more you remind yourself of these key foundational principles, these key truths, what Jesus has done for you, the stronger connection you'll have with Jesus as the foundation of your life. And so as I think about gospel reminders, I think about a couple of passages in Scripture that could actually function as a key gospel reminder. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 to 10. If you got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read it. I think this is a great gospel reminder. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were, by nature, deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I find myself asking, how would it affect my day-to-day life if I started each day off by reading this passage? Or if I memorized it and recited it regularly? I'm pretty sure it would shape the outlook of my life, that it would keep God on the throne in my life. It would re-inspire my hope for eternity and my vision for mission, and would remind me of my identity as a child of the God of the universe. Amen. And so one of the takeaways for me today is I'm going to memorize this passage, Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. I started this week. I got like verse 1 memorized or 2 or something. And if you want to join me in that, it couldn't hurt. It's a great passage to memorize. Gospel reminders, regularly reminding ourselves of these huge truths of grace and being reconciled with God and coming to life because of Jesus. This practice, I would say, is a great anchor bolt. It'll keep us connected to Jesus as the foundation of our lives. It will affect how we respond when various challenges hit in life. Having a fresh view of the gospel will give us a fresh perspective on how to respond to life's challenges. So that's the first bolt, gospel reminders. The second bolt I'm going to call Bible saturation. The more time we spend reading, studying, meditating on God's word, the better and more bolted we will be to Jesus as the foundation of our lives. This bolt's closely connected to the gospel reminders bolt, but I think it's worth identifying separately. What kind of impact can the Bible have on our lives? The Bible answers all sorts of questions, big questions, like, who is God? What has his activity been in the past? What can we expect from God today and in the future? How should we live? Who am I in God's sight? These are huge questions that the Bible answers. So I think Bible saturation is an important bolt, an important anchor bolt. And just to get really practical, I've found that it's helpful to have some sort of Bible reading plan, and to actually have a Bible reading plan that you do in a community of believers. And so that you don't have to figure out every time you start reading the Bible where it is that you're going to start. And if you're doing it in community, like if you're all reading the same, you've got quick connection around Scripture. You can easily start talking about, hey, you know what I read in Ephesians today? And the person has read it as well. So that's just a neat thing. I don't know if you guys use Bible reading plans, but it's been a good practice for me. If we're regularly encountering God's word to us through Scripture, we're far less likely to slip off of Jesus Christ as the foundation of our lives. Third anchor bolt that I want to just talk briefly about, I'm going to call FaceTime. And by FaceTime, what I mean is spending time in God's presence. Spending time in God's presence. God is relational. And one of the anchor bolts keeping us connected to Jesus as our foundation needs to be some sort of consistent, growing, real relationship between us and God. And so I think each of us needs to figure out the ways in which we most eagerly connect with God, and then make sure that we're making space in our lives for these connection points to happen. Here are some of mine. I'll just tell you some of mine. You'll resonate with some of them you won't. You may have others. One of mine is I love to sing. I actually love to sing more than most people love to sing. And so putting myself in regular situations where I can sing praises to the Lord is one of the key practices that needs to be a part of my life. It keeps me connected to Jesus as the foundation of my life. Another FaceTime practice for me is I encounter God when I'm in nature, and particularly when I'm on a mountain or an ocean. And so I need to make sure that I intentionally schedule times when I can be in these settings, because I meet with the Lord in these settings. Another FaceTime practice for me is I love to study God's Word and then ask Him what learning points there are for me and what learning points I could share with others. And so I keep on saying yes to opportunities to preach and teach because it keeps my relationship with Jesus fresh, because I need to keep on studying God's Word. Another FaceTime practice for me is I love praying for different countries and different people groups. I've just discovered over the last couple of years that I love this stuff. Praying for, it feels like it connects me to God's heart when I'm praying for a particular people group or nation. And so I need to find time and make sure that I'm doing that sort of thing. I also know that I connect well with God when I'm worshiping in community with other people. I love going to church. And so one of the great joys of my life is that I get to go to all sorts of different churches. It's just really fun for me. And when I'm at my home church, South Abbotsford, with my family, my wife gets a good chuckle almost every week after the service. We get into the van, and I've got tears in my eyes almost every week. And I'm like, man, that was good. I love going to church. And she's like, yeah, I know you do. So do I, but I'm not crying. I just love worshiping in community. So I need to keep on doing that. Well, those are some of my FaceTime practices that keep me bolted to Jesus as the foundation of my life. You might resonate with some of them, and you probably have other ones that you can identify. So make sure you're engaging in them. And then the last anchor bolt I want to talk about is this, Christian community. Christian community. The Christian life is not intended to be lived alone. And while each of us has a responsibility for our own relationship with God, we actually have this incredible gift of being able to do life together. And so Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This Christian life should not be a solo effort. And in fact, if it is, if we're living it alone, one of our bolts anchoring us to Jesus is weakened. There's so many benefits of intentionally pursuing to be in close relationship with other believers. In community, we can enter into God's presence together in worship. That can be a rich experience. Close Christian community can also give us accountability, calling us to live like God wants us to live. It can give us support, helping us through the various challenges and traumas of our lives. And it can provide opportunities for us to grow and be sharpened by mentoring or by being mentored. So being well-rooted in Christian community is a great anchor bolt. When the storm hits our lives, Christian community can help us stay securely on Jesus as the foundation of our lives. Soar Vancouver is kind of a neat exercise in that. We're living together for 10 days, sharpening each other, doing ministry together, worshiping together. It's been neat. I'm going to finish off with one more story coming out of Thailand. This story came to us recently. Dave and Louise Sinclair Peters are missionaries with us. They live in central Thailand, working with Burmese believers and Burmese people. Some of them are believers, some aren't, and also some Thai believers. And this came from a newsletter. I'm just simply going to read it, actually. This is Dave and Louise writing. "Time to be honest, last year at this time, we were totally discouraged about the spiritual state of our adult believers at our little church in a slum in Thailand. Many of our first believers had fallen away and were going back to old addictions and the things of this world. We cried out all year for God for a breakthrough. And then a few months ago, one of our members, P. Chin, got a contract to build houses in a different part of the country. He was relieved that he could get away from all the headaches and troubles in our little slum community. Little did Pichin know that God had a plan to revive his faith again. One day, when he was in a store in this other city, he met a man who invited him to church, and so Pichin went. When Pichin arrived, he was surprised to see that there was no parking available. People had been lining up for hours to worship the Lord. This is an exciting worship service. During the service, Pichin saw many people come to faith in Christ. He saw people set free from evil spirits. He saw people healed. That day, Pichin went forward for prayer. He asked God to reveal himself to him in a new way. During the months that followed, Pichin had a new hunger to immerse himself in the Word of God and to have fellowship with other believers. One day, God convicted him about smoking. He had tried before to quit, but it had always felt too hard. This time, Pichin went to his cell group and asked for prayer. And then he fasted and prayed for deliverance. His desire was to become a godly leader, and he felt like the Lord was challenging him on this particular issue. Well, the enemy came hard after Pichin. The first day after quitting, Pichin got a fever and started throwing up. The second day, he got fired from his job. Pichin couldn't take the pressure. He needed a smoke. But instead, he called his care group. And they took turns calling him on the cell phone and praying for him every hour. That's neat. We prayed for him here at Bethel Church too. And after 10 days, Pichin returned to our church, rejoicing and praising God for his victory over cigarettes. And now Pichin has been back in our little slum for the last 2 months, turning the world upside down for Jesus. By his testimony and encouragement, he has caused many of our old members to turn back to the Lord and has led a few others to give their life to Christ. Yes, revival can start with just one man. Hallelujah. That's the end of that story. Christian community, it's an important anchor bolt. For Pichin, it was seeing people worship in community that drew him back to Jesus. And then it was Christian community that helped him make some real life change. Important anchor bolt. Well, let me close this off. I'm a mission mobilizer, and so I love it when people take steps of obedience into participating in global mission in some way, either by going or praying or giving. But today I am not going to say, you need to go, or you need to pray more, or please give. Actually, I did just say those, but that's not my point. What I want you to hear from me this morning is this. Make sure your anchor bolts are in place, securing you to the foundation of Jesus Christ. That will determine the strength, the stability, and the shape of your life. When we've chosen Jesus Christ as the foundation of our lives, and when we are well bolted onto that foundation, the life that we build is going to be one that gives glory to God, one that draws people into God's presence, one that has mission written all over it. Mission flows out of our relationship with Jesus. And our relationship with Jesus is dependent on these anchor bolts being in place, connecting our lives to Jesus as the foundation. So let's bolt our lives to Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, I pray that for each one of us here today, you would highlight one takeaway. Would you enable us to see how we can be more securely connected to you? You are the best foundation. And we do not want our lives to slip off of you as the foundation. So do your work in us, Lord. Speak to us and then give us the discipline, the courage, and the boldness to take whatever step it is to which you're calling us. Amen. Thank you.